This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, episode 10. Let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Insurance Marketing with John Carroll. I am John Carroll and I welcome you to join me for the next, 20 minutes or so as I'm going to go through a few ideas of things that can help you with your insurance career. This is the podcast where we talk about information and ideas and things that help insurance agents. And today's content, I think, is going to be right up your alley if you're anything like me. I'm going to be talking about sales language techniques that you can use that will put you in a better position to make a sale with your leads. And the catch with this kind of stuff is that you have to keep in mind that none of these little tactics or techniques that I'm using are by themselves going to make you a sale. But sales is really about the culmination of everything that you're doing, every little tiny thing that you're doing up until that point where you're asking the potential customer to make some kind of commitment to you. Every single little thing that you do has a cumulative effect in building trust and building confidence with your clients and also removing the risk that they might be perceiving about doing business with you. And one thing to keep in mind is I think a lot of times it's easy to forget in sales that every little tiny thing we do is going to make a very big impact on the people that we're speaking with. And the reason for that is, you know, you work in your insurance agency and you might be talking about your business and insurance and all the stuff that your agency does 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 40 hours a week, 60 hours a week, whatever it is, you're spending all this time talking about it. But you have to keep in mind that every new client that you interact with, that person is starting from square one. Their entire knowledge and foundation of understanding of how your agency does business and your philosophy is it has to be built up from the beginning. And they're basically starting with a clean slate. And what that means is every little tiny thing that you do, from the moment you first make contact with the person, even if it's something maybe where they find information about your agency online, every little step is something that gets you closer to the sale. So I want to give you 17 little tips or tactics or tricks or techniques or secrets or whatever you want to call them, but these are things that you can do to change the way you're selling insurance and marketing yourself right now so that hopefully you'll give yourself a little bit better of an opportunity when the time comes to close that sale to actually get the person to say yes. So without further ado, here are 17 different ideas that you can take with you however you want. Idea number one is to use the prospect's name as much as possible. I think it probably goes without saying as to why this is important to people. But it really is a good way to get people's attention too. Obviously people like to hear their name, but each time as you're talking in a conversation, as you're talking, throughout five minutes, you might mention the client's name 3-4 times. Each time you do, you're drawing them in just a little bit closer. So using the prospect's name as much as possible is key, but a good way that you can use that even further is when you're having that situation where you're starting to feel like the person is losing interest, that's exactly when you drop their name, first name, Mr. or Mrs., whatever their last name is. It's a good tool to just draw them in a little bit tighter and make sure that they're paying attention. And as Dale Carnegie wrote in How to Win Friends and Influence People, there's no sweeter sound to any person's ear than the sound of their own name. And a good example that I like to think about here is imagine yourself in that situation where you're walking through a crowded airport and there's people everywhere, babies are crying, all this noise and everything's going on. But if somebody over the loudspeaker were to actually say your name, you would actually hear that because your brain is actually tuned to resonate with hearing that sound of your name. So just keep that in mind. Using that name as much as possible will draw your client in. Number two. Instead of asking people about their current coverages, so let's say you're doing like an auto policy and you're saying, okay, well, let's find out what your policy is now, rather than saying, do you have collision coverage or do you have comprehensive coverage? What I want you to say instead is, do you want? Okay. And the main difference is it's not these specific words, but the idea is as you're putting together a quote, instead of asking people what they have with their current policy, you want to be asking them that presumptive language question, which is, what do you want with this new policy that you're buying from me? You know, instead of saying, do you have a clean driving record? You can say, you know, can I give you the clean driving record discount on this new policy? All right, so it's a very subtle change, but keep in mind, all these little changes, they add up to make somebody more likely to say yes to you when you get to that time to close. That was number two. Number three is, this is kind of like a math little technique, but you can deliver costs in monthly amounts and savings in annual amounts. So let me give you an example here. If I'm quoting a policy to somebody that, let's just say it costs $500 for the next 6 months. Rather than telling them that the policy is $500 for 6 months, I'd rather do the math and say, okay, it's going to be 80 some odd dollars per month. Because $80 a month sounds a lot easier to swallow than $500 per year. But the flip side of that is, if I gave them a discount on that $500 policy that saved them 10%, rather than telling them I'm saving them $7 a month, which doesn't sound like that much, I'm going to tell them that over the next 6 months, that 10% that you're saving is actually going to save you $50. Right? Is my math right there? I hope it's right. Even if it's not, I hope that you get the point. And you could even take that same idea and stretch it out to the whole year. Even if it's only a six-month policy, there's nothing that stops you from saying, that's $100 a year I'm saving you just for going out and taking that defensive driver class. By the way, here's a link to a website you can go to do that. So remember that costs, what the people have to pay, deliver in monthly amounts. Savings, deliver in yearly amounts. Or you could even go crazy and just say how much you're going to save them for the rest of their life. I mean, it could be thousands of dollars, but go for it. That was number three. Number four is, it's just kind of a little psychology thing, but before you go and you start asking questions specifically about people, if you just ask one question beforehand, you can sometimes get them to be a little bit more receptive. And that question is, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? Okay, so, you know, this is a brand new relationship with somebody you don't know, but before you know it, you might actually be asking questions to somebody who you've met for less than 60 seconds. You could be asking them how much money they make or, you know, how much their home is worth. You know, these are very personal questions. But if you just ask that question beforehand, hey, do you mind if I ask you a few questions in order to do this? They're going to say yes. And what it does is it really opens the door for you to ask all the questions that you have and even to ask other additional questions because they already told you yes. Yeah, I pretty much gave you free rein to ask me anything. You know, so I don't know if you want to ask. Never mind, I had a dumb joke, but I'm just going to keep it to myself. So that was number four, is before you start nailing the people with questions, just ask them that very simple question. Hey, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? They'll say yes, and then you have freedom to do whatever you want. Number five is not to say, do you understand? Okay. Now, and the reason I say this is something that I've heard a lot of producers and agents saying. And the catch is, it's kind of a presumptive question. And what I often hear people say is they'll say, your liability insurance is $50,000, $100,000. Do you understand that? And the person on the other side of the table is kind of like, yeah, of course I understand that. What do you think, I'm some kind of an idiot? The whole deal with the question, do you understand, is four out of five times the other person's going to say yes, whether it's true or not. So I would avoid that, do you understand? And I would just go right into saying something like, do you mind if I just explain why that works? Okay. In both cases, they're going to say yes to you. But in the second case, you've given yourself that opportunity to explain the insurance, explain the coverage. And really what you're doing is you're opening the door to allowing yourself to provide more value to that specific lead. So that was number five, is don't ask, do you understand? Unless you're really just trying to like go to lunch and you've only got 5 minutes, I guess you can use it there. But it's really like a trick that we're subconsciously using a lot of times to avoid the conversation. And I want you to have those conversations. I don't want you to avoid them. Number six is, it's very simple. Think about the word contract and how you can avoid that. Some ways you can do that would be to replace the word contract with agreement or policy. But the word contract tends to get people a little bit worried. They start thinking about lawyers and signing contracts with the devil and all these different kind of things. So if you can avoid that word contract, I would advise you to. And it also makes you think, what other little tiny words are we using that we might be able to replace with language that comes off as a little bit softer? So number six is don't say contract, use agreement, use policies, something else. Number seven is to really paint a picture when you're talking to people about something. So the idea here is you don't want to say to somebody, let me give you two different examples here. I could say that, your comprehensive coverage covers your car in case a tree falls on it. And people get that. They get the idea. It makes a lot of sense. But if I were to say something like this instead, just imagine all the times when, you park your car underneath a tree and, in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, a huge storm comes through and a bolt of lightning hits the tree and in a cloud of, sparks and everything, this branch falls down on your car and it damages the hood and the front left fender. That exact situation happened to me about a month ago. So maybe that's why I can be so descriptive about it. But my real idea here is don't just say the coverage covers you in this case. Really paint a picture, something that the person can, inside their own mind, live through. So for example, don't just say your liability coverage pays for other people's injuries if you hit them with your car. Say, just imagine yourself driving in the rain and the wipers are going so fast, but sometimes the wipers go so fast, but you still can't really see what's going on behind them because the rain is just coming down. And just at the very moment, the person in front of you slams on their brakes and you're 2 seconds too late and you just crash into them. Really try to paint that picture. Use your language to get the person to live through the experience of what an insurance claim would be like. And by doing that, you're going to emphasize that idea that they really want to have good coverage. They don't want to be just shopping for money. That was number seven, is paint the picture when it comes to your descriptions of how the coverage works for them. Number eight is kind of related. It's a little language technique you can use to avoid talking too much about features. Now, the whole idea with features and benefits, you've probably heard this before, but features are the specific things about how an insurance coverage works. But the benefits are the things that the person can walk away from with. So, for example, a feature of, I guess I'm using a lot of auto coverage here, but the feature of liability coverage in your auto, auto policy is that if you hit somebody, it pays for the damage to their vehicle. But the benefit of that is if you get in a car accident, you don't have to worry about it because we have X amount of coverage and you've got the best company in the business that's going to be taking care of this and getting everything taken care of so that you don't have to worry at all about that person coming back to sue you or anything like that. Kind of like going all over the place here, but the trick I was actually trying to get to was three simple words, which are so that you. And the trick is, anytime you explain a feature of an insurance policy, if you add those three words, so that you, after the feature, you will find yourself getting into the benefits. Okay, so you want to have collision coverage so that you can get your car fixed if you get in a car accident or somebody's driving your car and blah, blah, blah. So that is using so that you to force yourself to go through the benefits rather than just talking features. Number nine is to match your prospect's vocabulary. Different people have, sometimes you might be talking to somebody and they're using the wrong word to describe an insurance concept. That's cool. Just use their word as long as they understand it. The more you match the vocabulary of your prospect, the more they're going to look at you as somebody that is just like them. And like it or not, people want to buy from people who are like them. And it's very subtle, but if you can take words that they're using and use them right back at them, the people are going to feel more comfortable with you. They're going to want to buy from you. That was number nine, match your prospect's vocabulary. Number 10 is, instead of asking people why, say What makes you say that? And this is one, I actually use this a lot in personal relationships, so I don't just use this in sales or business, but the whole deal with why is that it's kind of like a accusatory question. There's kind of this assumption that the answer, whatever they're telling you, is wrong. And you don't ever really want to be having a conversation that turns into a defensive situation. So if somebody says to you, you know, let's just say you ask somebody, you know, besides price, what else is important to you about insurance? And they come back to you and they say, I don't care about anything. The only thing I care about is price. Well, if you say why, they're kind of going to be like, why? Don't talk to me. You know, it throws up walls. And if you were to ask instead, well, what makes you say that? It turns the focus not so much on them as much as the focus is on why they said the thing that they said. And it's a lot easier for people to answer that question than the actual why question. So I would recommend almost in any possible situation, instead of asking a prospect the question why, ask them what makes you say that. Try it a few times. I think you'll see for yourself that it really is a great tip. Tip number 11. This is one that I've been using since I was in fifth grade, actually. And the tip is this. Instead of saying miss or misses, you know, generally, obviously, miss kind of means that it's a woman who's unmarried, and misses means that it's a woman who's married. You can say Ms., and that includes both of them. And I remember when I learned this, I was in fifth grade, and I remember saying to myself, well, how does this make any sense to use Miss or Mrs.? Why don't I just use Miss for the rest of my life and I'll never have to worry about it? And that's true. In sales situations, calling someone by the wrong surname, I guess that's what that's called, calling a Miss a Mrs. or a Mrs. a Miss, you know, you can offend people, but I don't think women are ever offended by Ms., but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If so, let me know. Number 12 is, this has to do with when you're confirming appointments. Instead of saying, please let me know if you're not going to be able to make this appointment, what you can do is just ask the question. So it sounds like this. Will you let me know if you're not able to make the appointment? Now, the difference is the please let me know, the person says, all right, yeah. Now, when you say to somebody, will you let me know if you can't make this appointment? And then you pause, they're going to have to answer the question. And there's a very different amount of agreement with someone saying, okay, as opposed to somebody saying, yes, I'll let you know. So it's just a little tip to help you get more of your appointments to show up is rather than saying, hey, let me know if you can't make it, say, will you let me know if you can't make it? And I promise you that little change there is going to get you a higher percentage of missed appointments. Number 13 for sales language tricks is to use rhymes. I know it sounds cheesy, But let me give you an example here. I'm going to give you a quote that I'll give you two versions of a quote, one that rhymes and one that doesn't. Here they are. The first version is this. Caution and measure will win you treasure. All right, that's cool. Now, if I just change that to caution and measure will win you riches, it just doesn't have that same kind of effect. And there's actually been psychological studies where they ask people questions that rhyme or they use language that rhymes versus language that doesn't. And what they find is that things that rhyme actually work better. So I honestly do not have anything prepared for you. I don't know what rhymes with insurance or anything like this. But if you have, you know, little moments in your sales conversation where you really want to say something that sticks, if you say something that rhymes, it can have a very impactful, powerful feel to it. So that was number 13, is say things that rhyme. Number 14 has to do, it's another math trick, and it has to do with how you say prices that are over 1,000. And the catch here is, you know, if I was trying to talk about $1,140, there's two ways I could say it. I could say it like I just did, $1,140, or I could say $1,140. $1,140 sounds like a lot less than $1,140 because, you know, it's kind of just breaking things down. And so the trick here is not to use only, you know, the $1,140 or only the $1,140. What you do is when you're trying to emphasize how much people are paying, you want to use the one that makes it sound like less. So if somebody has to pay $1,140, I would say, oh, your policy is going to cost $1,140. If they're going to save that same amount of money over the course of a year, I'm going to say, you know, based on all the work that we've done here, you're going to save $1,140 this year. So basically, just remember, using that word 1,000 is going to make a number sound a lot bigger. So if you want it to sound bigger, use 1,000. If you want it to sound smaller, break it up into the two numbers, 1140. Number 15, little sales trick that you can use is to talk about all the discounts. And this is one that, you know, to me, it never really makes a lot of sense because I'm kind of like a bottom line guy. I always figure, you know, the insurance is what it is and the discounts are just a part of the underwriting. You know, what's the difference? But the truth is that people really like to hear about discounts, and I could probably go into a lot of detail about why I personally think that is. But I'm not going to. I'm basically just going to say that as you're having conversations about the price of your policy, don't just assume that all the little line item discounts are irrelevant and the only thing that the person cares about is that final number. It actually can be very impactful when you go through and you say, you have this discount, which is this much, and this is why you qualify for it. You're going to save this discount, which saves you X number of dollars, and this is why, you know, you go through that list. And I can tell you, if you just sit there and talk about seven different discounts that somebody's having, you're subliminally giving them that idea that they're really getting a good deal just based on all these discounts that are specific to their situation. So don't gloss over the discounts. In fact, zero in on those discounts. Talk about them as much as you possibly can. Number 16 is to drop your insurance jargon. All right. You know, I can remember actually way back when I used to be a claim adjuster, there used to be other claim adjusters. Like if we were talking about a rental car, we used to call it LOU, loss of use. And so if you're talking about, oh, you know, is the person owed loss of use money? And I can remember listening to other claim adjusters that would actually be talking to claimants on the phone and they would be using the word LOU. And it was like, LOU, are you serious? Like Lou, like people don't understand what that means. And the truth is that it's kind of like I said earlier, if you can use language that the people will relate to, they're going to like you a lot better. So don't use that jargon. Drop the jargon. It you might think it makes you sound smarter, but it actually just makes you sound like you're trying to disguise something. Anything that, you know, you wouldn't expect your grandma to understand what that word means, don't use it when you're talking to anybody. And finally, number 17 for the sales language tricks on this podcast. Number 17 is a very simple one. And this is another one actually that I learned in New Mexico when I used to live in Albuquerque. And that trick is to use sir or ma'am. It's very simple. And I'll tell you the story from my own experience. I used to live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque is a really cool place. You know, you get people from Colorado, people from all over the world, people from Texas, a lot of Texans. But one thing I always thought was cool is that anybody I ever met from Texas would always say sir and ma'am a lot. And the funny thing is that anytime you'd be talking to somebody else about that person, they would always say, oh boy, that Quentin, he's so polite. He's just so respectful. Boy, you just really got to like somebody like that. The guy could be the biggest jerk in the world, but he would just always say, sir, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And I can't tell you how great of a trick it is just to call people sir and ma'am. And if you're listening to this in Manhattan, where nobody says sir or ma'am, or some other place where you might just feel awkward, that's an even better reason to start using sir or ma'am, because it's just going to really make you stand out from somebody else. Can't emphasize it enough to all the sirs and ma'ams that are out there listening to this right now. So that was number 17 of sales language tricks. I'm hovering at about 25 minutes, so I'm going to finish this thing up. Just wanted to remind you that if you got a good tip out of this podcast, if you like listening to this, I'd strongly encourage you to go out to iTunes and write a 5-star review about the podcast. It really helps get more exposure in iTunes so that more agents can find this information. So you get some good karma out of that. Also, there are show notes where I'll have a breakdown of everything that I discussed here, along with any links to outside resources. And you can access that by going to insurancesplash.com/10. That 10 refers to this podcast number. This is the 10th podcast I've done. And if you go to insurancesplash.com/10, you'll be taken to today's show notes. So that's all I got for you. I hope you have a wonderful day. Try some of these tricks. And if you have more that you want to share with me, please, I love this kind of stuff. So shoot me an email at john@insurancesplash.com, or you know, you can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere else. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Sell lots of insurance. Good luck. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, brought to you by insurancesplash.com. Now get out there and sell insurance.